Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to this weekly Torah study from New Beginnings Church in Bedford, Texas, taught by Pastor Scott Sigmund. We pray this message will help you better understand how God's Old Testament wisdom and New Testament revelation are meant to jointly fit together.
Welcome. This is Torah study portion today about Jacob's dream, Genesis 28, 10 through 17. In this Torah portion, according to Rabbi Sachs, and there was another rabbi, and I forgot to write down his name, Jacob is fleeing from Esau and sets out towards Haran, which is where Abraham was from. And I thought about that. I said, you don't always hear about that, but that's where he was from and where God told him to leave because he was about to be killed. And when I was reading about it, he was getting ready to be put in the furnace. How interesting is that? Meshach and Abednego and all that. I'm like, wow, he was getting ready to be put in the furnace too. And I never read that before, but that's what was happening to him, and God told him to leave. Yeah, it was also the homeland of Jacob's mother and mother's family. It was a time of confusion, uncertainty, and just fear for Jacob, especially because of Esau, because Esau was trying to kill him because he and his mother had concocted some things and he took Esau's birthright. So yeah, so he was running to get away from, you know, what he had done. He was like reaping what he sowed, basically. So this journey into exile begins with an amazing encounter with the Lord, none other at Mount Moriah, as we call it today, in Jerusalem. And it's like, God is so good at connecting everything. When you read in the Word and study, and then it's like, man, how did he know to put everything together? And sometimes when people tell us that, well, man wrote the Bible, but there's no way they could do it and get it like that. You know, it had to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a secret site where his father Isaac was bound also, and a sacrificial offering as a sacrificial offering, and what would be the future site of the holy temple for the Jewish people. So God is so good at putting things in line. That's why I'm so glad our steps are ordered by the Lord. We might not pay attention to that, but they are. This is where God's Shekinah glory will eventually rest for everybody, even us. We're going to go back. In that same spot, the temple will be the symbol of glory and greatness of God and Israel for 1,000 years. Jacob could not have possibly known that for thousands of years. And that also shows us why the enemy is so hard, trying so hard to, you know, keep them off of that land. The one thing they forget is David bought that land. And he never sold it. So they always miss that part, you know, when they're talking about what they should be doing with the land and who should be there. But the Bible says he bought the land. Amen. Amen. So if they would only, you know, look at that and say, okay, it is theirs. Because of Jacob's teaching, Jacob was taught in the Torah. Because of his teaching and training from his father, Isaac, he knew that he was close to the place where his father and grandfather prayed. He didn't know where it was, but he knew he was close in the area. It's on this holy ground that Jacob lays down to sleep and has a prophetic dream of angels ascending and descending on the ladder between heaven and earth. And I was reading another rabbi's interpretation of that. He said he laid down there to sleep because the sun went down, but God made the sun go down, is what he said. It wasn't really the time that it would usually would be for the sun to go down, but God made it go down so he would stay there and lay down and go to sleep. And I'm like, God, you are so good. Because he would have kept going because he didn't know exactly where the spot was. I know. And so many of us do that sometimes. We don't know where we're going, but we say, okay, I'll take this place. And then something just tells you, wait a minute, just stay right here for a second. I know. This divine place chosen by God is where the Lord affirms the promises that he made to his grandfather Abraham, the land of Israel. This is where Jacob, for the first time, this was his first encounter, personal encounter with God. Other than that, he was always going with what his father was telling him, his grandfather, and all that. But this is the first time that he himself personally had that encounter. And God assures him that he will be a father of a great nation. And who else did he tell that to? That Jacob would be a father of a great nation. As we go into Genesis 28, 10 through 17, this is what it was. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones, even though another rabbi says it was a few, of that place and put it at his head and lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached into heaven, and where the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the south and the north, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep. And I tell you, I mean, just listening to that, it's like, it's exactly what he told Abraham. And all of us, we think about, okay, he told that to Abraham. Abraham, you know, saw part of it, but Abraham never saw it in his lifetime. Yeah. And so he's telling the same thing to Jacob. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Yeah. Amen. I tell you, when you look, read that sometimes, and he's going to a place where he did not know. And I think about that sometimes, how we all in Portland were coming here, and it's like, I've never been down south before in my life. And at first I told Pastor, I said, no, I'm not going. Because we had the children's ministry. It was going really good. We had thousands of kids. And so I was just like, no, we're not going. And everybody was saying, are you going? I'm like, no, we're not going. Plus I had my jobs and everything. And I just prayed and I said, okay, God, you know, if this is what you want us to do, I guess we're going. Thank God we did come, yeah. Thank God we listened and came. Because Portland now is like so liberal. It's like, what happened to our state? I tell you, the devil's running roughshod over a lot of things in there. What a dream and what a word from the Lord. It's his very first recorded in the Bible. It was very first recorded dream in the Bible. And it's exactly what Jacob needed at that time. The dream, you know, itself is filled with vision and a transforming event for Jacob, both personally and on a national scale. I believe the latter in this instance was a symbol of prayer, because he first learned how to really pray at that spot, you know, with the dream. And prayer is a powerful and enough to overcome the past and override the negatives he's going to face in the future. Because just like all of us, that's why we pray, because there's so many things we don't know about that's going to come. And when we pray, God can tell us those things ahead of time, or at least get our spirit ready to, you know, recognize the things that are coming and know that it's not necessarily the people around us and who we're talking to, but it's the evil one bringing that stuff up to us. So when we can recognize the devil, we can stop him in his tracks. But if we can't recognize him because we don't pray, then that's when things happen that we don't expect, and it catches us off guard. Right now, he's still in a bit of confusion about his future. And he's being permanently separated from his mother and father. And prayer is the key to whatever and wherever we go and he go and what we strive for. Prayer ignites our climb out of the negative situations into positive ones. And I, you know, and with that ladder, and one translation said staircase, but just think about it, you know, it keeps us, and it's our climb. Our lifestyle is a climb. Our relationship with God is a climb, because we started down here, and as we keep going and praying and studying and reading the Word, it's a climb to where He wants us to be, because we can't do it on our own, right? So, you know, that's why we pray, because we're walking around with blinders, really. And some people get mad at other people, other churches, but, you know, like Jesus said, if they believe in Me, they're on the right path. Amen. Yeah, the Bible tells us the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available. Amen. And when you think about that, sometimes it says, you know, it tells us that, yeah, prayer works, but we forget the power behind prayer and the words that we speak. And God tells us we don't even ask enough of Him. But even in our asking, before we even receive what He's giving us, because the Bible says He gives us whatever we ask for, if we don't doubt and believe, that, you know, He just, it's just amazing that our words mean so much. And I think about that when we pray, or even when I'm not praying, talking to my kids or to my husband or just anybody else. We need to be very careful of our words, because so easy the negative can slide in there without even knowing it. And when people are talking to you, they're speaking to you, and their words are creating when they're talking to you. So we need to be bold enough to tell people, oh, nope, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Thank you so much for wanting to share. I know one time up at the altar, somebody was asking me to pray with them. And I said, okay, well, what do you need me to pray for? And so she was telling about her marriage. And then she said, well, why don't I pray? And then you can agree with me. So I said, okay. Yeah. She started praying, and I was listening to her. She was like going off in left field, pray for my husband and what he's doing. And I said, oh, wait a minute. You need to be quiet and let me pray, because I can't agree with that prayer. And how many of us, when people do that, we just don't always tell them that. But sometimes we need to say, you know what? No, I don't want to hear what you want to pray for. You just need to be quiet and let me pray. And you just agree with me, because sometimes they pray the problem, which is sometimes why a pastor has to be up there. And I know people look at me like, who are you asking me what I want? But I'm here to talk to Pastor, but, you know, I'm like going on and say, what would you like from God? Because a lot of people still focus on the person that's praying for them, and it's not us that's bringing forth the miracle and causing things to change in their life. It's God using us to bring about that miracle, to stand in the gap for them. Jacob had every right to be demoralized and confused because of what he did. And like Jacob, we might feel like fear and confusion is getting the best of us due to some type of overwhelming family issue or medical or legal report. But the circumstances may seem way beyond our control, and it's left to us to and it leaves us drained and defeated. But when you keep your eyes on Jesus, when you open your mouths and pray, that's why it's so important for prayer. There's nothing that we can't handle. And the Bible tells us that, but sometimes it's easy to forget that, you know what, we can handle anything the enemy throws at us. And you know what, and God will give us the answer. It might not always be the answer we want, but He'll give us the answer. We just have to be plugged in and know that, okay, this is God telling me about this. Yeah, one of the best things in our relationship with the Lord is that when we are weak, He says that He'll make us strong. He will strengthen us and deliver us from all evil. All evil. And sickness is evil. You know, sometimes, you know, people around us are evil. Just, you know, our thoughts sometimes can be evil. But we have to grab a hold of those and bring them into subjection to the Word of God. And like, I you know, I talk to different people, young people and everybody. I say, you know, well, who are you? And sometimes we don't know who we are. We don't know. We know, you know, who we've become. We know what we want to do. But sometimes it's hard for us to really plug into who am I? What do I really stand for? You know, we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds. Like, okay, what do I want out of my lifestyle? What do I want out of my relationship with God? What do I want out of a relationship with a friend? You know, so we need to always keep that in mind. And even sometimes our family. We can love them, but we don't have to be around them because they don't believe as we believe. God has a way of showing up when things look the worst. And we are teetering on the edge. He is such a gracious Father and is always ready to help us handle whatever devastating situation we face. Here's a few scriptures that brings that about so we remember and we know, okay, he's with me. I can make it through this. And we need to, you know, write these things down, keep them, stash them in your car, keep them in your purse, on your pockets and everything, because they are, because we need to know these. And if we don't know these scriptures, the devil knows them. Oh, yes, he does. And the Bible says if he comes up against us and we start praying and we don't know some of these things, he'll go, who are you? The Bible tells us that he'll ask, who are you? I know this person over here. But I don't know who you are because you don't know how to stand your ground. Psalms 9:9 says, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Amen. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So not only do we pray for him to strengthen us, but he said he'll help us. He'll help us in every situation, and he will uphold you. Like, he's not going to let us fall. Amen. I tell you, that is good to know. He will not let us fall when we feel like we've fallen, but we haven't fallen where he thinks, you know, where he is. We haven't fallen that far. It might feel that way to us at the moment, because we're looking at the reality around us, just like Jacob was doing. But God said, oh, it's okay, because you're not as deep into it as you think you are, because he's going to uphold us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And sometimes that's sickness. Sometimes that's trouble with our families, trouble with our marriage, trouble with, you know, just our job. But he will make a way of escape. He will make you able to endure it, to stand fast, to stand strong, to remember to pray, to stand on his word, and he'll make it a good outcome. Amen? Amen. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And how many know, I mean, I had to stand on that, like when my mom passed away, and everybody's looking at me like, you're not falling apart, you're not even crying, why, you know. But I had the peace of God, knowing I knew where she was. Sometimes when you don't know where they're going and what their stand was, you're fearful, you're confused, you're sad. Of course you're sad, but the peace of God will come over you and let you know that it's okay that she's gone because she's with me. You know, and even the doctors were there. The police came because she passed away at my house. So they come. I didn't know that. And I'm like, okay, why are you guys here? And I guess it's a protection for us because they don't know, you know, what happened to her in your house. Were you here? I mean, they were asking me, were you here alone with her? Yeah. So they, you know, had, and the doctors came and checked her out. And they said, it's okay, you know, no problem. But I never thought about that when somebody passes away in your home, that the police will come to find out, you know, what the deal is. But they were looking at me, too, because it was like I had no really emotion, you know, about it. I was talking to the doctors and everything, and they're like, okay, she's very calm. Why? You know? But, you know, it was just the peace of God. And so, you know, and of course I miss her. And, you know, I missed her then. Of course, I did end up crying because my daughter came in crying. I'm like, why did you do that? But you know what? It's so good just to know that when somebody passes away, of course, we're going to feel sad. We're going to cry because we miss them. But it's not a sorrowful thing. It's not a sorrowful thing. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, so no matter what we're going through, no matter what Jacob was going through, God was telling him at that moment, just rest, just relax, take a deep breath, breathe, because I'm going to find, you know, rest for your soul. So no matter what we're facing, the word from the Lord will minister to our hearts, and it will help us break free from all the negative emotions and confusion and infuse us with a fresh outpouring with strength and courage. The courage to take a step to do anything we want to do. We all have goals. We all have dreams. We have dreams for our marriage, dreams for our own selves and our, what we're, you know, our commitments to different things. We all have those, but it's amazing that we need courage. You don't think about that. We need courage to go to our jobs. We need courage to go visit someone in the hospital. We need courage to come to church and stand up for what we believe in. We need courage to do practically everything in our lives, and we don't even think about that. That we would need courage. We just automatically do things, and we don't think about it. You know, and I was reading in the Jewish commentary that everything that we do, we should scrutinize. We should think about it and dissect it and, you know, find out, is this what we really should be doing? What is this going to do in our lives? Is it going to help me grow, or is it going to set me back? And we don't always do those things. We just go on our business like, you know, it's no big deal. But, you know, it's amazing that we need strength and we need courage to do everyday life things. And you think about new moms. You have to have courage to have kids. And you need that courage like for 18 years or more, because they're always coming back, amen? And when you first have a child, you don't know what to do. So it is, and you don't think about that. It's just a natural thing. Oh, yeah, we're having a baby or whatever. But you need courage to, you know, see that thing through, because it's very important, which is what Isaac knew for Jacob. They had to train him. They had to teach him. And he had his grandfather. So he saw a lot of courage in them. So hope it was, but I think he forgot it. And that's why God had him lay down and go to sleep, to remind him that, you know, of all those things, that we can overcome, we will overcome, and we will move, he'll move us forward, and we will fulfill our divine destiny. That's the power of God given in a given dream. And just think, we can have those dreams. We can have those dreams. Because whatever people did in the Bible, we can have it. That same thing can happen to us. God is no respecter of persons. So when you read about somebody who's done something, just think of Gideon. He was hiding. And God called, be strong and good faith. Come, you know, man of God, come out of there. And in this instance, Jacob was not the man of God that we read about. He was just getting on his journey. The letter points us to a concept that overcome the obstacles in our lives are like climbing a spiritual ladder into our destiny and climbing the ladder of spiritual success. The climb is a climb out of our past. It's a climb to a place above those things that limit us, confine us, and stop us from being everything God called us to become and to accomplish. So when things go coming up and for you, we just need to think, okay, just picture the ladder going up to heaven, because the angels are going up, getting the command from God to bring back down to earth to help us get through what we're going through with the answers that we're looking for. This is why the Lord showed Jacob a dream of a ladder. He had a past to overcome and a future that would not be so easy to possess. And sometimes that's the same with us. Where we want to go, it's not so easy to possess. Amen. So the ladder is a picture of what Jacob would have to do to climb to a whole new level. And we all want to go from level to level, from station to station. It was a vision that would provide him in the direction and motivation to go for it. He needs to put God first through prayer to move forward in his destiny. And the same is for us. When we want something, a lot of us, we don't make a plan, like it says, write a vision down, make it plain. How many of us do that? I know, but see, that's why we pray, because even if we didn't write it down, God could bring it to the forefront of our minds and go, okay, I want to do this, and what do I have to get to this? That's why some people go to college and they never finish, because they didn't have a vision to finish. And sometimes they don't need to be there, because God has something else for them to do. Amen? The greatest God ever gave to man is not the gift of sight, but the gift of vision. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. We are to look beyond what we can see in the natural into the supernatural realm of Almighty God, the all-providing God. Amen? A vision is not a picture of what we could be, of what could be. It's an appeal to our better selves, a call to becoming something more than what we can imagine. The Bible tells us that what we think, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What we can imagine, he's got way more. I mean, think of that, because I think I could imagine some lofty things. I can pray for some lofty things, but it's like, okay, but God, still, what you have and the image you have for me is way above what I can think, which is another reason why we pray and thank him. Thank you, God, for being with me, from giving me this vision, and I know you're going to give me whatever I need to accomplish this vision, but I have to stay plugged in. I have to keep praying. I have to keep looking for him and in his word on what he says about me. Who am I? What do I have inside of me that's going to help me get to where I want to go? Amen. At the same time, a prophetic encounter and a word from the Lord is not an actual guarantee, but rather what's within the realm of possibility, because we have to partner. It speaks more to your unique potential in God. This is why God showed Jacob a ladder. The ladder is something we climb and is associated with more than just God doing something for us. It includes our own active participation and effort, personal effort, which doesn't always come easy. It's something that has to be seized by us. And I think about this, it's our own participation. I remember one time Scott and I had an argument. And so I was mad, and I'm driving to work, and I'm just complaining as I'm driving. and then I hear this voice, and I'm thinking, and I'm hearing this voice, and I'm like, what? And it said, you wouldn't have an argument if you would just keep your mouth shut. And I'm like, well, thank you, God, because I know that's you, because I definitely would not tell myself that. And sometimes that's what he does. And, you know, and we think of different things, and we're in the midst of things, and sometimes it's like, okay, why are we bickering back and forth? And in the heat of it, you're, you know, entering in, and you got to get in what you want to say. But in the here he comes, if you would just keep your mouth shut, there would just be no argument. I'm like, well, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I mean, what do you say after that when God tells you that? I know. Yeah, I know. So luckily, I knew enough to figure it out that, okay, the devil certainly wouldn't tell me that. So I wouldn't tell myself, so, okay, God, I hear you. I hear you. That's definitely you, because I wouldn't tell myself that. Even though sometimes we expect a totally different voice, but it was just my voice, but it was just him, you know, dropping that into my spirit. And it's like, okay. Okay. It's our willingness, our determination, and our perseverance that is essential as we climb the ladder of spiritual success. And if I hadn't climbed to a point where I could hear God's voice, I totally would have missed it. It's the difference between winning and losing. The fact is, no one is immune from disappointments and frustrations. It's all part of the battle. In our daily lives, it's a battle to stay on track. It's a battle to pick the right people to hang around. It's a battle to watch your words. It's a battle to be at work when people aren't Christians. You know, so we have to remember that no matter what we're doing, and sometimes it's a battle, you know, being in the house of God around people. Yeah. Some people want their own seat. Some people, you know, are talking while you're trying to listen. Some people just have a bad attitude when they come, and which is, you know, we want them to come because then they hear the word of God and it'll change their whole situation. Amen. But life is a battle because the enemy is constantly bombarding you and bringing things to you that you just, I mean, you really have to think about it. You really have to think about it and say, okay, this is the enemy trying to get me to do this. This is the enemy. And sometimes, you know, we're not slow to speak. But we have to remember, it's okay to say, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I didn't really mean that. But the biggest battle we face is how we see our future and ourselves. Over the years, you come to realize that life is like climbing a ladder, faithfully, rung by rung. As we study each day, each week, month, or year, we understand more and more, and we come a little closer to heaven. As we learn to stand above the fray, rise above our human nature and emotions, and see things with a spiritual vision beyond our natural sense of sight. You know, and it's so easy just to see things and, oh, yeah, you know, it's so easy to do that. But just to have a vision to not always just see what we see, but try to see what's beyond what we see. Amen. There is a fascinating parallel to Jacob's ladder in the New Testament that many of us have never seen before, or we just read it and passed over it. It's an added truth that underscores the Torah teaching today. In John chapter 1, Jesus is in the process of calling Philip and Nathanael to rise up to a new level and become his disciples. At the end of the story, Jesus makes this incredible statement. That's John 1:51. Jesus said to Nathanael, I tell you the truth. Like he said, come on, y'all. I'm telling you the truth here. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So sometimes it's not only in the Old Testament, but he relates things. This is why we do the Old Testament and New Testament, because really it was one whole book. And he connects everything. He's saying that there is a new point of contact between heaven and earth. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, the power of God, spiritual vision, divine purpose, signs, wonders, and miracles are now accessed to their fullest through the Messiah and Lord. Because of Jesus, things have transitioned from a place to a person, the person of the Messiah. This is why we pray our new covenant is revealed. In the Torah commentary, Rabbi Jonathan thinks Jacob's dream was about Jacob praying to God because he was experiencing fear, scared of his brother Esau and what lied ahead of him. After realizing God would protect him, actually he tells God or makes a vow or a pledge to God to pray more and then tithe the tenth of whatever God gives him. So he's making a bargain. He basically makes a deal or a bargain with God. How many people you hear say that? God, if you'll do this. God, if you just save me, I'll do this. That's what Jacob was doing. He's asking God, not in a spiritual way, but in a human way, here, he's just starting his journey that God has chosen for him, and he was still in a moment of crisis. And you think about it, it's like, oh my gosh. Jacob was in a moment of crisis. Abraham was in a moment of crisis. Moses was in a moment of crisis. Okay, so somewhere along my lifeline, there's going to be a moment of crisis. And guess what? God is there to say, okay, I will protect you. I will keep you, and I'll see you through this thing. Amen? When we realize or think that God has chosen us for a specific task, sometimes it scares us. The saying was true for Jacob, just like when he said that we were moving to Dallas. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I've got all this going here. I've got my job that I'm doing here. I'm not leaving all this that I worked hard for to go someplace I've never been before. You know? So that's like a spirit of fear, even though I didn't look at it that way at the time. But it's like, no, I'm not leaving all this that I worked hard for to go start something totally new. I don't even know anybody there. You know, but he brought it to our mind and said, nope, you know, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to take you there. I'm going to see you through it. Sometimes God is just starting a promise with us to the main promise. He's just starting a promise which will take us to the main promise so he can finish through our descendants. Sometimes it's not just for us that he's taking us through certain things. We're an example to those coming behind us. People see what we're going through, and they're going to pass that on to somebody who's not even here yet down our lifeline. Amen? We have to deal with reality while we're here on earth, but we also need to build our faith step by step, rung by rung, and realize God is always with us and is just a prayer away with the answers we need. A prayer away. Your heartfelt, honest, and wholehearted desire to experience anything God has will motivate you to climb. It will lead to an amazing relationship and partnership with the Lord, and it will cause God's dreams for you to come to pass. If you hunger and thirst for it, God will open doors of opportunity no man could ever open for you. Amen. He will move heaven and angels to make his promises manifest here on earth for us. As you seek him, and may very well speak to you in a dream or in a car. He may very well cause angels to descend from heaven with exactly what you need to succeed in whatever you're doing. But no matter how it happens, there's no doubt our best is yet to come. Amen? Amen. Amen. I have 6 keys. I'm going to need my glasses for this. Let me see. Hold on.
I made it so small.
I made it so small to make sure they fit on the one sheet, but I have a sheet in the back. 6 keys to transcending limitations and reaching greatness. And I got these 6 core Jewish values embedded within these choice quotes from the book Relentless by Tim Grover. In order to have what you really want, you must first be who you really are. Search for yourself, learn what makes you tick, learn your strengths and your weaknesses, what motivates you, what challenges you. We all need to know what really challenges us. Before Jacob could fulfill his destiny, he had to deal with some things that led to his conflict with his brother Esau. His trouble with Laban, and ultimately, he had to find the courage to face himself. First, find out who you are in Christ, and then have the courage to stay true to it. Number 2, bottom line, if you want success of any kind, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Your destiny will never be found in the comfort zone. Climbing the ladder of success or a Christian lifestyle is hard work. How many of you have found the harder you work, the more blessed you get? That's true. Why? Because the only place success comes before hard work is in the dictionary. I remember Scott said that. I said, okay, put that in there. And it's true. You think about it. Number three, every minute, every hour, every day that you sit around trying to figure out what to do, someone else is already doing it. Make a choice or a choice will be made for you. Don't sit around too long overthinking what to do. God will bless the things you put your hand to. So take a step of faith. We are judged by what we do. Don't wait until you are ready. None of us are ever ready. And how many people hear people when you ask them something, they say, well, I'll pray about it. Yeah. And sometimes like, I'll pray about it. That's just another way to say, oh, I'm not interested in doing that yet. So, or no, I'm not interested. So I'll just, you know, sound religious. I'll pray about it and get back with you. Number four, anyone can start something. Few can finish. Priorities change if you don't constantly protect and defend them. If we don't consistently work to make our values the most important elements in our lives, we will lose our grasp on what is essential for us. So we must guard our values. Number five, no matter who you are, know what you know and what you don't know. Most of the time when we are asked for advice, we don't want the truth. We want the answer we are seeking. Be open to advice that goes against what you want. Be open to new ideas and different approaches to life. We need to be clear about what we know, but we also need to be honest about what we don't know. Number six, the greatest battle you will ever fight are within you, yourself, and you must always be your toughest opponent. This is what Jacob finally discovers at the river's edge as the scripture goes on. He had to wrestle with himself and what his spiritual priorities would be coming home to Israel, because he necessarily didn't want to go to Israel. To transform from Jacob to Israel, he had to demand more of himself. Otherwise, he would continue to struggle with his mission in life. The most important challenges we will ever confront happen inside of us. With God's help and our steadfast commitment to make the hard choices, we can win the battle of our lives, win the battle of our Christian walk, win the battle of anything that we have set before us to do, anything that God wants us to do. We just have to make sure that's what God wants us to do. That's why we critique it, we go through it, and we analyze it and say, okay, now is this really God or is this just me? Because sometimes it's just us. So we need to know, okay, is this something God, okay, how would that, what would come out of that? Will I be glorifying God in this? Or is it just something I want to do just to be seen for me, you know? So we always need to do that. Amen? Well, amen. I have one.